statement. What are we talking about? We're talking about Christopher, Susan, and Mike's brother. A month and a half ago, wasn't even a believer. He didn't see it, so now we know he is. Went up there a couple of times a week. The man grabbed hold of the spiritual life by faith and spiritual love. Each time I was there, what I would do would be, okay, for the next time, read this passage and maybe give him a book like Galatians or just several different chapters to look at different things. Christopher is 32 years old, and I'd go back the next time he had read them, and he'd already made connections. He had already seen things. He'd have some good questions. And then we'd go at it for, I would kid him, and he'd take it in a good way. Some of you might think it's cruel, but he'd take it in a good way. We'd talk maybe an hour and a half or so, and I said, you know, Chris, it was nice having a captive audience because you're not always looking at your watch. And and each time, sharper and sharper in regard to not only the truth in regard to salvation one, salvation two, spirituality, spiritual love, why some see it, why they don't. He went through, and I don't think he would mind, but he went through some stages of anger about his past and stuff. We took care of that. He made up. What I'm saying here is he made a long trip back to go over a lot of things that people go through. Romeo, come on over here and worship with us. We're the family. Come on over. Then, as you know, a couple weeks ago, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago now? 3 weeks? I transferred to up near Abilene for when they, in the Texas Department of Corrections, they move them from the Dallas County up to this place, and then from this place they'll be shipped out to where they're going to go. Now, here he is, involved with the chaplain, involved with some 52 Bible classes a week. I've tried to call the chaplain there 3 times, and he's always gone, and they always say he's in a meeting, and I went, yeah, right. Now I believe it. If he does 52 a week or has it in some time involvement, I'm sure he doesn't do all of them, but is involved with them, organizing them. So here is a guy that you want to pray for. He is involved in teaching others, captive audience, and he understands Salvation 1 and 2 better than most preachers. And he probably won't have them long, get much input. I don't know how much input he has, but, boy, there's something to pray for. That is powerful. Thank you. That is powerful. So let's be in prayer. Susan, I can't hear you. Talk so softly, I can't hear you. Good. So we'll continue with the prayer support. Tell him that, and I'll tell him. Wow. So let's do in prayer. His name is Christopher Costello. And people, his life's changing. And that's what this is about. That's what this is all about. So let's definitely, we'll do that in prayer. And I'm a little mad he wrote you and not me, because sometimes he writes me and tells me things and not you and Mike. And now he writes you and Mike, and then, boy, why did I get a hold of him? Okay. Let's go together in prayer. Anything else?
The little girl and her husband.
Yes.
The heart condition, they don't know what caused it. It's not a bacterial infection, but they don't really know what it is. And basically, should be back in Houston today or tomorrow.
No operation?
No operation, but there has been damage to the heart. They don't know what has caused it. It came on very suddenly. They don't have any idea what it is. They're just going to basically put her in bed for 2 months and treat her as they think she needs to be treated.
How old is she?
She's 7.
7.
Okay. I have no idea what brought it on or what's causing it, but there was definitely damage
done to the heart. Do you tell me again her name?
Anna.
All right, we need to continue to be in prayer for Anna. That's very interesting. 7 years old.
Her mom is going to have to do some home schooling, and the teacher at 10 today is going to go over there to make sure that the mom knows the routine to Christ
We got a lot of areas to pray spiritually for the 7-year-old Anna, physically, and then, of course, just the routine of life that has now been interrupted, having to be taught at home by your mom. That in itself is tough. So be in prayer spiritually, and then the physical, what God is doing in her life. So let's continue to be in prayer. Okay. Continue to be in prayer you in regard to what's going on in your life. Be in prayer for each other. Okay, let's get ready for, as far as I'm concerned, where the real battle is, and that is loving as Christ loved. That's the one thing Satan cannot allow. Satan cannot allow Christians to love as Christ loved. And the reason that he cannot allow Christians to love as Christ loved is in this great conflict between God and Satan. And you remember that in the prehistoric battle that they fought each other, and this brought man on the scene, and there was a great relationship between man and God. And Satan saw the relationship and the harmony and the peace, and he was jealous of what man had in this relationship with God because he once had it. And so Satan, in his jealousy, came through, broke that relationship with sin, and that brought about death, and then put man under the control of Satan. So man was under the control of Satan here. And secondly, man is under the judgment of the righteousness and justice of God. God needs to be satisfied. And thirdly, man now is spiritually dead, and therefore he is, has no harmony with God. And also here, not only is he spiritually dead, he is now producing personal sins, which are a result of being spiritually dead and having no way of taking care of it. And so Satan made it clear to God, there's nothing that God can do. No one can make man clean. You are a righteous and just God. He accused. That's what his name means. He's the accuser. He accused. He attacked. One thing he didn't plan on, and that was the magnitude of the love of God that would send his son to die on a cross. This is the love that you and I are to duplicate. And so powerful is this love that we are to duplicate, that when you do love as Christ loved, remember this, three dynamic things are going on. First of all, when you love as Christ loved, you are putting Satan out of this love. We're no longer in Satan's kingdom because this love of Christ defeated Satan at the cross. Therefore, take away his power. Secondly, it satisfied the righteousness and justice of God, pleased God. And third, it took care of the sin problem. Now, when you love as Christ loved people, three things happen. One, Satan has no power influence in your life because spiritual love is powerful to him, produced by the Holy Spirit, the only one on earth more powerful than him. Secondly, you are pleasing God in everything that you do. And thirdly, you cannot sin when you are loving as Christ loved. You will not sin. You will not do wrong to another person. So these are the dynamic things that are going on. Therefore, this person cannot stand, Satan cannot stand it when you're to love as Christ loved. So we're, as far as I'm concerned, really at the heart of the spiritual warfare as far as we are concerned. And as far as our relationship with Satan, relationship with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So let's spend a few moments preparing ourselves for the study of Scripture. Let us pray. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, to be the recipient of so great a love. To contemplate, Heavenly Father, that we can love exactly as Jesus Christ loved us, at first strikes us with a very strong no. No one can love as Christ loved. And yet, Heavenly Father, when we examine your Scripture, your Word, we see that we can. We can love as Christ loved us. We can love with that kind of sense of the need of others. We can love with that same magnitude that we would die rather than hurt, if that's what it takes for another believer. And Father, we know that we can't do this in the flesh, and that you have provided everything necessary for us to love as Christ loved us. We pray now that your Spirit will illuminate all that is going on in spiritual love, the person of this love, and cause us, Heavenly Father, to be keenly aware of the fact that when we love as Christ loved in our homes, in our marriages, family, work, social life, assemblies, that what people are seeing is not my love, but the love of Christ for them. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Last week, just get us into the momentum of where we are, and that is that we're commanded in the new commandment to love one another as Christ loved. So please always bear in mind that we're loving as Christ loved, which presents a very important point, and that is love is known. The love that we are to love, spiritual love, is known. Spiritual love, I'm going to put it here, spiritual love is known. We can know this spiritual love, and it is known in a person. And the person that this spiritual love is known is, first of all, is God. Why? Because Scripture makes it very clear that God is love. Now, God has to manifest that love so that we know. God has to reveal himself so that we know this love. And God did so in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. So now it is through the person of Jesus Christ that we know this love. But before we got there, God is love, and he has to reveal himself, and that's where we are in our study. First of all, God revealed himself and came down and was among men in the temple. And we studied a little bit of this last week. We'll study some more of it, some pertinent aspects of this in our study on Sunday. But he came down and dwelt in a temple made with hands as the Shekinah glory. And we noted that last week in our study as the Shekinah glory. Then, that was one era of the way that God dwelt. Then God came and dwelt among men, not as the Shekinah, there is a Shekinah glory, but now he takes on the form of flesh. He took on a body. So here he is in the Shekinah, the wealth on earth is the Shekinah glory. Then he came and took on a human body, and that was in the person of the incarnate Christ, hypostatic union, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, the Son of God in flesh. And so we now have an understanding of the love that we're to love in the person of Jesus Christ. Love is known in a person, and now this person is now further revealed for us as Jesus Christ. People, you cannot talk about love, think about love in an abstract sense. There's no room for classroom type of discussion, abstract type of discussion. Love is this and love is that. Makes wonderful romance, makes wonderful poetry and all that stuff. I'm not knocking it, but I'm talking about love. And this love cannot be known outside of a person. This is one of the problems with the people, even in the area of human love. They get abstract. No, love's known in a person. How this person loves. So this love is known in a person, and this person is Jesus Christ. So this love can be known, but it is known in a person. And if any time you want to discuss or talk about this love, you talk about it in the realm of a person, someone that's very personal to each one of us, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. But then something strange happened, and that is that he departed. He departed. He left planet Earth. So now, since he departed, and we now have a problem. So first of all, it was in a temple made with hands. Then it was in his own flesh. And then he departed. So now, how can this person's love be manifested? Well, he came back And he dwells among men now in a new. He dwells among men now in a new temple. Dwells among men in a new temple. Not made with hands. See? This is the temple of the new spiritual creation. This is a temple. This temple now that we're talking about, here's this temple. And this temple now is your body. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, what happened when you did that, among multitude of other things, was your body became a temple. Your body became a temple. We'll begin with this a little bit. Maybe you don't think of your body as a temple. Maybe you don't think of your body very, very much. Maybe you think a great deal of your body. But whatever you think, your body is now a temple. See? And it is a temple for the Shekinah glory or this person to indwell. Look with me quickly at 1 Corinthians 6. Let's lay some groundwork here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And we're going to look at 19 and 20, the last two verses. Some of you know this passage. But it's always good for us to go over and remind ourselves of this very important principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, or verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, Jesus Christ indwells, but and I had to really study the prepositions because I used to teach this another way and I was really wrong. This is a temple, and it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The member of the Godhead who is said to reside in this temple, in this passage, and in passages that are of the same motif, is the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. See? This is what makes it a temple. And it isn't a matter that he is preparing it for a member of the Godhead people. He is God. And we have to get this in our understanding, who is the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons people have trouble trusting the Holy Spirit, that they haven't gotten themselves clear on who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, and how we tap into what the Holy Spirit does. He's God. Just like Jesus Christ is God. God the Father is God. So inside of us now is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Look, you can see that for yourself. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? Remember, we're studying in John, why we have him. Christ departed, went up and said, send them the Spirit. He had the second advocate or another advocate. God promised that he would on the day of Pentecost he started. All right, here's from God, and that you are not your own. You're not your own. For you have been purchased with a price. What was the price? The death of Christ on the cross. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So what we have here is we have now our body is a temple. In this temple resides the person of the Holy Spirit, and we'll see the person of Jesus Christ himself spiritually by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, the person whose love that you and I are to have in us is the love of this person right here. And the reason that we can do it, twofold. One, because his love came by the power of the Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit in you. So you and I, we're commanded to love, and that's what we're studying, loving as Christ loved. We can do it. We can love. It's a profound thought. I don't know if you sit and think about it, but the thing, some people say these kinds of statements, strike them as arrogant and all that. I can love. Oh, no, you can't. No one can do that. No one can do that. He's Christ. He's God. And yet Scripture says we can. Now, why can I love as Christ loved? How can this happen? Okay, two reasons. One, because the love that the love that ran through Jesus Christ, the love that came out of Jesus Christ and manifested itself was a love produced by God the Holy Spirit in the humanity of Christ. And because Jesus Christ received his love, I'll put it this way, he received his life, his love from the Holy Spirit, and now we have the Holy Spirit. This is why this is so important. Over and over and over, and you'll see this Sunday. Got a very important study coming up. A lot of things that I used to say about the indwelling of Christ were, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit were at the very best, they were inadequate. If not wrong, but at least inadequate. It didn't even begin to touch what were some of the things we're going to be seeing about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I used to teach you that he was, his person and his activity was dormant if we were in sin. Wrong. Wrong. He's not just sitting there. There's a lot going on. But this is why it's so important you have passages over and over, and we'll go through some of them, and that is that we have this love in us, or we have the Holy Spirit, therefore we can love as Christ loved. Because we have the same Spirit that gave Christ the love, this very same Spirit is inside of you. Secondly, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, also present in us is the person of Jesus Christ in you. And therefore, because of this fact, now we have this person of Christ, the person whose love is supposed to flow through us is now, that same love is now inside of us. Look at John 15 with me. The Gospel of John chapter 15. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. One of the greatest chapters in the Bible, in my opinion, as far as I'm concerned. Can't read them too much. There's one thing, Christopher, I would always have him reading in this section. Okay, John 15. I want you to look at something with me. Verse 1. I, Jesus Christ, am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Relationship. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the dresser, the vine dresser, God the Father, takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he, God the Father, prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Oh, well, I can't wait to get there. You're bearing fruit, and he comes along and prunes. People, he's never through with it. He's never through with it. You may think you've arrived, but he's always pruning. He's always perfecting, as far as the believer is concerned. Verse 3, you are already clean. There it is, what we're studying last night. People, that's a very important concept. We're seeing this on Tuesday night, and I know you, some of you can't make it all the time, but a lot of people talk about forgiving, being forgiven. Scripture makes an equally big case of being clean. And there's a different nuance in both. Forgiveness is fellowship, cleaning is service. And note what we're talking about here, bearing fruit. You connect with you? Bearing fruit, clean, not forgiving right here, but clean. And all of this is here. Because before I can be used, have to what? Be clean. Okay. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Now, we're going to start, people have probably a lot of different views, a lot of different teachings on what does the abiding here mean, and aren't we already in Christ, and isn't he already in us, and all this kind of stuff. Now we have an imperative to believers, abide in me, and this type of thing. Well, we're going to be doing some work on abiding, indwelling, a lot of these different things, and get a picture of what's going on in our relationship with Christ. Abide in me, and I in you, the union model. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and I'm the vine. So we're now seeing a picture here of a relationship with our Savior. So neither can you unless you abide in me. You can't bear fruit unless we are abiding in Christ. I am the vine. This is very clear. Verse 1, I am the true vine. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. Now he starts getting very personal on this whole deal. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, let me just stop. I want to digress for a moment. What is the goal, what's the objective, and all this of the Christian life? Okay, in chapter 14, he makes it very clear, greater works. Now, there's a lot that goes into making the greater works, and we're studying the five conditions. And here it's bearing fruit. We're not here to sit on our beautiful spiritual rear end and be satisfied with who and what we are. We're here to bear fruit. A lot of people are going to be surprised when we get into heaven thinking, you know, as long as I did this, that's what God wanted. As long as I did that, as long as I did the sacraments, as long as I did that service, as long as I was moral and righteous, as long as I learned doctrine, as long as I, whatever it is that their little deal is. I'm sorry. Bearing fruit. This is your master's word. Our master's word. Okay? Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, that's what I want to emphasize for a moment here. You can do nothing. Now, that includes loving as Christ loved. Why? Because love is known in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Love is known in a person, the person is Christ. Can't love, you're not in this person. Can't do anything if we're not in Christ. Okay? If we are in Christ, in Him, and we'll be seeing what all of that means, but just kind of kick it off, and most of you are aware of it, when you are walking in faith in the Holy Spirit, and then you are in that point in Christ. And we'll see how this works in the union model as far as the believer is concerned. But it's very important. You can do nothing unless you are in Him. And how do I get in Him and remain in Him? That's by faith. That's how we get in there, and that's how we maintain it. All right, let's continue. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them, or they gather them, who's they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. It's a simple analogy that even I don't do hardly much outside, and as far as all these things, you understand. You've got something taken off of the vine where it gets its food and its water and its energy and all this. It lies there, it's going to dry up. That's when you have to go out there and rake and clean it up and get rid of it some way. Today they won't let you burn it, but this is what's happening. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Here we go back to prayer now. Ask whatever you wish. Very important to this whole fruit bearing and doing the greater work is the importance of prayer. Very important. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this, is my Father glorified? By what? What glorifies God the Father? That I go to church a lot, that I am this, that I am righteous, that I, all these things, that I learn a lot of doctrine, that I, on and on and on. Look what it says. How do I, here it is. It's no mystery how to glorify the Father, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples, and my dear is our key. How does the world know we're disciples of Christ? I want somebody to tell me that. We've already studied it. How will the world know that you're mine? Huh? Love. What? Did y'all have me scared? And let me word it this way. Were y'all getting ready to get into trouble? We were going to go back to chapter 13, verse 33 and 34 for the next 6 years on those two verses. Okay, thank you. Yeah. That's what it clearly says. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you're mine. So it's running through here if you want to see it. Okay. Now, by this, verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father, see, and here it is, it loves right there in the context. Just as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, and we've already studied now, we have two commandments in context. There are two commandments that can be seen in the plural and in the singular. If we want to see them in the plural, what are the two commandments? What are the commandments that's being spoken of? to faith and to love. Those are the commandments he's looking for. We saw that in context. I spent time on that. Okay. If you keep my commandments, faith and love, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Now, for those of you that doubted what I said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So this is all through the flow of our study. Just as I have loved you. Now, how did he love? Look with me at Ephesians. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, all right, verses 1 and 2. That's all we're going to look at tonight, verses 1 and 2. All right, it starts off now. Jesus Christ reveals himself by his love so that we can imitate his love in the Christ-like life. Now, before we look at this, look first at chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, and clamor, and slander. It's a biggie in the inner relationship of Christians. Bitterness toward one another. Wrath, anger, clamor. Wrath, what's the difference between wrath and anger? Well, very simply, wrath, you're gonna get even. You're gonna take it, and you're gonna take care of them. You're gonna take care of them. And anger, and clamor, slander. Be put away from you, along with all malice, whatever else is involved. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, our study that we're looking at in 1 John on Tuesday night, just as God, in or through the person of Christ, also has forgiven you. All these things related to the forgiving, and that's why God pulls, or the Holy Spirit pulls that one out, just as I, God, have forgiven you through the person of Christ. That's how we are to forgive others. It becomes so important and so difficult to do in life. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, now, I want you to see the flow so you won't miss it. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Forget the chapter break. Therefore, be imitators of God. Do you see how it flows? This isn't separated. This isn't separated from verse 32 here. This is what God does. God is kind. God is tender-hearted. God is forgiving. And these are what God does. And therefore, he says now, therefore, be imitators of God. As, and then we have the phrase, as beloved children. Now, this is imperative of our Christian life, that we are to fulfill this command that is given to us here. Okay, let's take a look now. First of all, therefore be. But therefore, coming off of verse 32, where it says, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you, therefore be imitators of God. Therefore goes from what was preceded. Therefore. So we can be imitators of God. Then we have the imperative be. Therefore be. Means to become. Here, to become. An imperative, a command. And it means to become something. Here, become something that you are not and never have been and cannot be in your own power. But I want you to become this. See? And this is something that by our first birth we are not in any manner, but by our second birth we can do this. Now, what should you pursue in your life? What should we pursue? Be imitators of God. Become this. Become an imitator of God. And we have the imitators of God. We have a predicate nominative. of mimetes, and it means mimic. That's where we get mimic from, this Greek word, mimetes. It's like this. And this is M-I-M, long E, and then T, long E-S, mimetes. And we get the idea of mimic from this word. So we have M-I-M, and then a long E sound, T, and then a long E sound, S, mimetes. And the word means exactly that, mimic, imitate, the imitators of God, the imitators of the God, the reference to the person, in this case, that we're studying before, the imitators of God, just as we saw in the previous verse, the imitators of God. Now, okay, got two major things to talk about here in this regard. First of all, the imitators of God. Got a problem. Isn't that what Satan tried to do? Yeah. What Satan wanted to do. I will what? I will be like God. Well, I hope we don't have to turn there in Isaiah. I will be like God. In Isaiah, Ezekiel, this is what I'll be. I will be like God. This is what he said. I will be like God. Now we're commanded, be like God. So we have, apparently we've got a problem here. Satan said, I'll be like God, and rebelled and was under judgment. Here we're told, be like God, imitators of God. Well, the difference is, as we're going to see, when Satan said this, Satan was going to do it by his own power. It was going to be by his own power that he was going to be like God. And people, let me tell you something. Many, many Christians try to be like God in their own power. They're going to produce a righteousness that is like God. They're going to be like God by the way they live. And they're going to come up with a list. They're going to come up with their list on how you're going to be like God. And they're going to work real hard at being like God. Got this idea of what God is like, which is the most unbelievable, profound arrogance anyway. I got this idea of what God is like, so therefore I'm going to be like God. People, let me tell you right up front, and we'll solve the problem and tell you right up front, you can't be like God if you don't even know what God is like. This is why a lot of religion gets into so much trouble. Because the first thing you've got to do, if I'm going to be like God, then I have to come up with, well, what is God like? Got to come up with that. Then I got to make my list. What is God like? Okay, here's my list. God is like this. God is like this. God is like this. God is like this. Where does this come from? Comes from the Bible. No. Where that comes from is from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Where it comes from. I got it all figured out. Got it all figured out. I know what God is like. And since I know what God is like, now I can work at it and I can be like God. I can be an imitator of God. But let's see what the problem is now. See? How are we going to be like God? How am I going to fulfill this mandate here, this command, be imitators of God. See, how am I going to do it? So, this is what I have to do. I have to be like God. Now, how do we do this? How am I going to resolve this problem? First of all, I don't even know what God is like. Let's start with that. I don't know what God is like. I just don't know what God is like. I got my ideas, but I have to admit, first of all, that I don't know what God is like. Now, you're going to get a lot of argument. You're going to get a lot of argument from a lot of Job, who in Job chapter 1, you know, blameless and wonderful and the greatest person that ever, you know, touched planet Earth and all this stuff. And Job thought he knew God. I know God, Job said. I know him. I know how God operates. This is how religious and self-righteous people get into trouble. I know how God operates. And then God starts pinching in right where you think you know God. And what Job figured out was this. God blesses if you're good and curses if you're bad. Everything that happens to bad people or all the bad things that happen to people is because they are not in right with God. Everything that happens when people are, good things happen to people because they're right with God. That's wrong. That's wrong. Well, wait a minute, I thought I had God all figured out. And then a little crack starts. A little crack in the armor. Like, here's God, I got him all figured out. Now, starts cracking. Well, he didn't do that. And then pretty soon you see another thing, another problem, another problem, and God does this on purpose. And he says, you don't know me. You don't know me, Job. Stand back. Just stand back. Let me reveal some things to you. And so God starts revealing some things to him. And that's why Job ends up in chapter 42. I retract everything that I said. You are God. What does he mean? You are infinity. You are undefined. You are without limit. All that I can do is worship you. You are God. I don't judge you. See, when I decide I'm going to be like God, I start judging God. I start judging. I start putting down what God is like. Get it all in my mind, what God is like. And so you put all these things. This is one of the great problems in this ideal of children, and they have this good problem today with children and athletes to get this idea of what this athlete is like. And he's pure as far as his body is concerned, and he's pure as far as his ability is concerned, and all of this stuff. And then you start seeing the cracks, and then everything gets all out of kilter. Get this idea: I know what this athlete's like, and I'm going to be like him. Boy, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to go to the weight room, and I'm going to run, and I'm going to do all these things. It's just one little problem. He doesn't do all those things. Okay. And then there's another little problem called talent. See? It's called a lot of dimensions you put together. Get all caught up, boy, and you work hard and you work hard, and I'm 5'5", and I'm never going to be more than 5'5", and that's it. And it doesn't matter how I work, I'm not going to be able to go out and play football with all of these monsters. They'll eat me and spit me out between plays, not even in a play. Why? Because there's a lot more. There's a lot more. Now, intensify that by billions in our relationship with God. We don't know him, people. And then he tells me to be an imitator of him. The first thing that we need to say is, I don't know God. God, I don't know how to imitate you because I don't know you. I've got a glimpse. But, you know, God, I don't even know right and wrong. Oh, everybody knows right and wrong. You don't need God to know right and wrong. But then why did God let David off? And why did God let the woman that the Pharisees brought to her off? Why? Wait a minute. There's too many conflicts here. Too much going on. Just to stand back, and the first thing I got to say is, I don't know you. Do you make yourself known to me so that I will know you? This is in my notes, but this is what we ought to do. Look with me at John. I want to tell you something. John 14, coming up. But first, you'll probably have an understanding that I probably won't be able to bring to this point when we get here. Look at verse 21 in John 14. See if it makes sense to you with what we just noted. He who has my commandments and keeps them, love and faith and love. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. I thought all I had to do was learn doctrine, and I would know Christ. No. Pharisees, you search the scriptures thinking you'll find salvation. You never saw me. You never saw me. There are people who study their whole life studying scripture, and you know what they see when they see Christ? They see the law. The law to them is a picture of Christ. to go through all these things. People, if we're going to know him, he's going to have to what? He's going to have to disclose himself to us. He's going to disclose himself to you and you and you and me as we walk in his spirit, as we fulfill the command of faith and love. He will disclose himself. It is not something that I can stand up here and teach you. It is not something that anyone can teach you. It is something that when you walk in the power of the Spirit and you are affected by that love of Christ, you begin to know him. I can do a well of a job because I know how to study scripture from the original language. I can get all these things and put a portrait up here of who and what Jesus Christ is, but I wouldn't even begin to communicate to you. This is something you're going to have to know, and he will disclose himself to you. So this is what we have to do. Now back to Ephesians here, Ephesians chapter 5. So how am I going to do it? Well, what I'm going to have to do is remember, he sent me a second advocate. He sent me the Holy Spirit. When we walk in the Holy Spirit by faith, we walk in the Spirit by faith, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal the person of Jesus Christ to us. The Holy Spirit is going to manifest Jesus Christ to us and teach us about Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to produce the love of Jesus Christ in and through us. But let's stay with our text now. That just goes to the house, so nobody gets out of here without at least my saying that aspect of it. So, now, the imitators of God. If you're going to do this, you're going to be an imitator of God, of Christ here, of God in the person of Christ, because look what he says and how it's done. He says, the imitators of God as little children, beloved children, and how we walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now, how am I going to know God? God is love. God is love. If I can imitate his love, I'm imitating him. That's what we have happening in this verse. So the first thing that you're going to have to do, if you want to fulfill this, the first thing you're going to have to do in regard to, if we want to go through the process here, is that you are going to have to make a decision. First, before this ever happens, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision about... What are you going to make a decision about? What's the first decision you're going to have to make? Let's have fun. Don't be afraid, huh? Faith, okay. Anybody else anything? The best one to take care of? Oh, come on, we're just afraid. You got to have to make a decision about yourself. That's the first thing you're going to have to do. You have to make a decision about yourself. This is the most difficult part right there. You have to make a decision about yourself. People, if you are going to love as somebody else does, if you're going to pray as somebody else prays, if you're going to, everything you do and everything you say is what somebody else says, you're going to have to make a decision about yourself. The greatest enemy to loving as Christ loved is right here. Me. I want to step into this. You know why a lot of times people do not love as Christ loved? Because I don't want to. That person doesn't deserve to be forgiven and move on. They do not deserve it, and I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to lay down my life for this person because I don't want to lay down my life for this person. They don't deserve it. First thing you got to make is a decision about yourself. The big news. Talking about love, we're talking about something very personal. We have to make up a decision about me. Who and what am I? What am I? And people, this is something that flows. I don't have to keep. This is something that just flows all through Scripture. Is what or who am I? We've already seen one thing. What? We are a temple. The body's a temple of God. I've already been bought with a price. I'm not my own. And we just, those are just a few things we read in one verse. And we can just keep going. We have to make a decision that, and to quote John the Baptist, I just have to increase. Decrease. The whole emphasis on me has to decrease. And as the emphasis on me decreases, the emphasis on him increases. Why do we stop trusting God and get into sin? Because we just simply went our way. We've already made a decision about self. Self's going to have what self wants, period. Why do we not want to suffer in the Christ-like life, in the spirit-filled life? I don't want to suffer. I'm going to take the easy way. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to belong to this kind of church. I want to make this kind of money. I want to have this kind of friends. I want to have this. I want to have that. I want. First decision we've got to make, people, is a decision about the self. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'm going to spend eternity with Christ and be with him in Christ, so I might as well start right now. I have to decrease. People, if I'm going to love like somebody else, I'm going to pray like somebody else, one of the great problems with marriages today in America is right there, me. From the woman's standpoint in women's liberation, the man's standpoint in doing his own thing, it's me, what I want. I don't care about my family, I don't care about my husband, I don't care about my wife, I don't care about God, I don't care about Christ, I don't care about anything. It's me. I mean, you know, how far do I want to turn into a preacher tonight, and how mean of a preacher do I want to turn in tonight? The people are whole use of time. Mine included, our use of time. If you can look at your use of time and see. You know, well, I don't have time to go to class. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time for the assembly. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I've got to do that. I've got to do that. The use of money. I've got to use my money here. I've got to use my money there. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I don't have this. I don't have that. It's me. It's the flesh. It's the big I. And we're going to get ready for this because you're going to hear more about it with the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit and the inviting of Christ and the fellowship of Christ. We're going to get into a lot of this. So you might as well just get ready. You're going to have to start thinking about yourself. Where do you and I fit into this whole equation of loving as Christ loves? I don't want to love as somebody else loves. I want my own love. I want me. I want to glorify Herman. I want to glorify me. I want to manifest me. I want people to know about me. Versus, I don't want anybody to know a thing about Herman. I want them to know all about Christ. That's what I want them to know about. I want them to know about his love. That's what I want them to know about. I don't want my prayer. I want to pray as he would pray. And as we saw several months ago in our study in the Gospel of John, when you start doing this, what starts happening inside of you? We have a very important passage. People talk about being transformed into the image of Christ. People, it's not something you and I work at. It's something that slowly happens. What's happening when you love as somebody else loves, as Christ loves, and you pray, you're starting to be transformed. Your whole person starts to be transformed into this person whom you love like and whom you pray like and whom you act like and whom you talk like. Whose thinking you have inside of you. It's not something, I'm going to transform myself into the image. I'm going to be more Christ-like. No, I'm going to love as Christ, love, pray as Christ, and then these things start happening and pretty soon it isn't even you. It's him. It's him. Manifested on planet Earth. Through you. But the first thing that you and I have to decide is, what about me? I feel so sorry for me. I don't have what others have. I don't have a large church. I don't have a lot of money in the church. I don't have this, and I don't have that. God, why don't you, I'm taking it off of you and put it on me just to show you. I don't have this. It isn't me. It isn't me. It isn't you. And don't think you're alone. We all have our battles of me. I want this. I want. Oh, but mine are more noble because mine deals with the spirit. I want more people and I want a big church and I want this and that. That's for God. Yeah, wrong. No, it isn't for me. People, the first decision we've got to make, every one of us, is a decision about self. And it's a tough decision. And the flesh, and it isn't one you just make once. See, you feel the spirit, and boy, you just, walking an aisle, and man, it's made. No, because 20 seconds later, the flesh and Satan are going to try to short circuit that. And we're always battling it. That's why we have the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit and the abiding of Christ. It's something that's always going to be there. You're always going to battle. It's going to be this fight going on all the time. But this is what you and I have to do. We have to make a decision about ourselves first. That's the first decision we have to make, is about ourselves. Now the second thing is, in order to imitate someone, and that's what we're doing, in order to imitate someone, we've got to make a decision about ourselves. See, you learn this in the human realm. You can learn it in drama. If I were a principal of a high school and had the authority, every student would be required 1 year of drama. 1 year speech, 1 year of drama. The importance about drama is this. Every student then has to get out of himself and into somebody else. In drama. You have to get out of yourself and be somebody else. So I have to make a decision. I'm not important here. And that's a difficult thing to do for an actor or for a musician. The maestro Toscanini. Boy, he demanded that the note be played exactly as it was written. I mean, you didn't get to do anything with it. It was as it is written. And that's the way the composer put it down, and that's the way it was to be done. You don't get to add a little this to it, a little of that to it. Nope. You play it just as the composer. That's what made him a great conductor. Was that he wanted it played just that way. People, if we took a silly analogy, Jesus Christ is the composer and the Holy Spirit's the conductor. And you're not going to get away with putting your own little into it. No matter how cute your little would be. No. The conductor isn't going to allow that. It's going to be just the way it was written. Just the way it was composed. Just the way Christ loved. And it's going to happen. It can happen. We walk by faith in the Spirit. So the second decision we have to do, or the second issue, is to know. Is to know the person you want to imitate. You have to know the person you desire to imitate. Okay? And what is that about? Am I saying here, knowing, that means you've got to learn a lot of doctrine. People, yes, we do have to learn, and we will, in the power of the Spirit, learn a lot of Scripture. But that's not knowing Him. That's why I took you to the John 14 passage. I will love and disclose myself to Him. I'll disclose myself to you. You have to put yourself at that point. You have to be in fact. People, if you're going to manifest a love, before you can ever manifest the love that is demanded here, just as I love, you have to know that love, been affected by that love. Have you been affected by that love? We all have it. The cross of salvation. That's why you could search the Scriptures and never really come and understand and know this love, having been affected by it. This is what is going on as far as the knowing of this love. Okay, the imitators, well, I've gone way over. I thought I'd get through the verse. We'll start here next Tuesday night and continue here next Wednesday night. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much, Father, for the issue as far as what our life is about and the bearing of fruit and greater works and all these things summed up in the concept of love is Christ's love. Something, Father, that we cannot do, but that happens to us as we allow the Holy Spirit to pour this love into us. Praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.